Turn with me, if you would, please, to the book of Deuteronomy. It's one verse I want to focus on today in our meditation for God's Word. Something that is really important to us. Deuteronomy 29:29. It's also in the bulletin with the other verses. Deuteronomy 29:29. The secret things belong to Yahweh our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. So ends the reading of God's word. Let's pray together. O Lord our God, we thank you for giving to us your word, that you teach us through it. You give us all that we need to live a life that is holy and honoring to you. So, Lord, we pray that it might please you to bless your word to our hearts and encourage us and strengthen our faith. Thank you for it. We pray your blessing now. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, someone, you're with someone, you want to go somewhere, and someone knows the way, and they might say, you know, follow me. I'll take you there. Well, a lot of times you got to, first of all, be assured that the person that's telling you that is telling you the right thing and truthful. You have to know that. And that that person is trustworthy, because you don't always know. Just because someone says, follow me, you have to learn about who that person is. Well, here in Deuteronomy, this verse tells us what God wants you to know about him. He wants you to follow him, and because he is trustworthy, because he is God, the infinite, glorious God, perfect in all his being, you can trust him, because faith presses upon our hearts to follow him, even when we don't understand. God has revealed himself, and he wants us to respond to what he says. He also gives us instruction as to know how we are to live our lives. He reveals truth about himself and what he requires from us. There are a few things I'd like you to notice. There are three things about the revelation of God I would like you to consider this morning as we think about the topic, follow me, from Deuteronomy 29:29. First of all, we think of following me. The Lord himself says something very important to us here. Now, the earlier in Deuteronomy was talking about faithfulness and judgment, and when they would fail, God was going to judge them and so on. And then when he gets to the end of this at verse 29, he talks about his faithfulness, about him, about following him, that if they do that, they will be saved. They will not come under judgment. So the first thing I'd like you to see is that he has secrets, the very beginning of verse 29. He says, follow me, but he has secrets. They're unknown to us. Only God knows all things, all possible things, what could happen and what will happen, because he ordains it. The word secret is a word in Hebrew which means hidden, concealed, restrained from sight, hidden from us by God. In the Old Testament, the Lord would reveal things to his people through the prophets. And they had to prove the fact that they were, because if someone claimed to be a prophet and they would say something that wasn't true, they would be stoned to death because they were a false prophet. There are things that we just can't understand that happens to us about the ways of God and what he does, because we don't have the mind of God. We don't understand God's mind and what he does and how he's going to work things out. Look at Romans chapter 11, verse 33 through 36, what Paul has to say here about the depths of God's love and his mind and his riches. Romans 11, verse 33 through 36 says, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of Yahweh, or who has become his counselor, or who has first given to him, and it shall be repaid to him? For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. We don't understand God's ways. And he does have secrets, and he wants you to know that. And sometimes when you're going with someone, and maybe it's an institution, and you're getting a tour, you might go somewhere, and who's ever taking you through it, whoever's doing it, might say, I can't take you into these couple rooms here because they're top secret. Nobody can go in there. So they don't get in, but because there's secrets that are so important. Well, God has secrets that he has, and he keeps to himself. But he does it according to his will and his plan. And he's good what he does, because he's working it all out together for your glory and your good. That's what he has done. So you see, first of all, the nature of God's secrets, that he has secrets, and he wants us to know that. If you're going to follow him, you have to know that. You have to know that your God does have secrets that you can't know. But he tells you to trust him. Anyhow, trust him. The second thing I'd like you to notice is the understanding of God's secrets. Notice it says the secret things belong to Yahweh, our God. You see that? You cannot understand certain things. Even if God revealed them, you would not understand what they are. I want you to look at Job for a moment and see what the Lord, or what Job had to say after the Lord showed him that he does not have the mind or the power to understand the secret things of God. Job chapter 42, verse 1 through 6, if you would turn there for a moment. Job chapter 42, verses 1 through 6. This is after Job had his discourse with his friends, and Job demanded an audience from God, and Job was the most righteous man on the earth at that time. Listen to what was said. Then Job answered Yahweh and said, I know you can do everything, and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. You ask, who is this who hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore, I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. Listen, please, and let me speak. You said, I will question you, and you shall answer me. I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see you. Therefore, I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. That could very possibly be translated, I abhor my demands. You see, we just can't understand God's things, God's ways. You know, God does things that are times that look horrible, that we can't figure out, we don't know, but we're called to live by faith. The Lord tells us to trust him. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, which is so important. Trust him with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. And that's what we tend to do. If something happens, we can't figure it out. We try to figure it out, even to the point where we won't be able to figure it out. But that's what we do. Now, secrets are very important. And sometimes, with people, we say things like, I have a secret, and I can't tell you. Or you tell someone. You say, there's certain people in our extended families that if I want something to get through to all the families, all I have to do is tell them what it is and tell that person not to tell anyone else. And it goes through the family. Can't keep a secret. But God does not reveal his secrets. And that's important. What if you knew the day of your death? You know how difficult it is if you knew that? That you would have, maybe you find out 2 years, then down to 1.5 years, then 1 year, then a half a year. It will be so hard to bear that, to understand that. We do not know the exact day when God will take us out of this world. See, these secrets belong to God and are good for us. because we are better off not knowing them. And it's important that we keep our secrets. Whatever happens, things that are not supposed to be told, we keep them secret. Look at Proverbs 29:11 for a moment. Proverbs 29, verse 11. You know, modern psychology tells you, you don't worry about that, keeping secrets. You just let it all out in a situation. You don't worry about it. Just get it all out. Look what Proverbs 29:11 says. A fool vents all his feelings, but a wise man keeps them back. You see, you have to know wisdom. You have to have wisdom when you say things. You have to do that and not tell everything or unload everything on a person. You need to use wisdom. God's people are to do that when they speak. Use wisdom. So that's the second thing I'd like you to notice, the understanding of God's secrets. And third thing, the possession of God's secrets. We've been talking about this some, but notice it says the secret things belong to Yahweh our God. Belongs to Yahweh our God. Some of God's secrets are revealed through providence and time. Over time, you see, okay, I see why this happened. I see why the Lord did this. And you can understand it over time. Sometimes that's how it works over time. You see it, but some you don't. His sovereign hand will bring about his will in his time. Secrets that belong only to God. You know, some people will try to use a phrase to keep you from questioning anything they do. You know, someone has said to me before, God told me to do this. God told me to do this. I said, well, what kind of voice does God have? Is it a baritone or a tenor or bass? You know, he said, God told you to. You see, they say that so you don't question anything they're going to do. And that's wrong to do. God does not speak audibly to anyone today in the new covenant. He speaks through his word and providence. Now, Jesus also told his disciples a secret that they were to keep. Look at Mark 9:9-10. Mark chapter 9, verse 9 through 10. Look at the secret here that his disciples were told. It was very interesting. You get the end of it. I don't think they really understood much of anything. But Mark chapter 9, verse 9 through 10. This is after the transfiguration and they're coming down from the mountain. Jesus and his disciples. Now as they came down from the mountain, he commanded them that they should tell no one the things they had seen till the Son of Man had risen from the dead. So they kept this word to themselves, questioning, what does rising from the dead mean? They didn't understand it, but they kept the secret. What's it mean, right? They didn't understand that at this point, that he was going to die. Secrets are important. We need to keep them. You realize what kind of trouble Samson got in with Delilah when he was not supposed to be intermarrying or being around other women that were not Israelites. Delilah kept questioning, where is the secret? How does the secret come from? And he'll say something, Samson says something wrong, and she sends guards in, and then he throws them all out. And she said, oh, you've lied to me. You didn't tell me the truth. You don't love me. See, secrets are to be kept because Samson did give out his secret about his hair and lent to his demise. So he has secrets. That's the first thing. Jesus says to us, follow me. But he wants you to know he has secrets. And we know in the future, the secrets that await us in heaven are beyond anything you could ever understand and see. The glory and the majesty is beyond what we can understand. We read from Revelation this morning. Revelation 19, as John is trying to describe what's going on in this glorious heaven, and he doesn't have all the words to explain everything. He has secrets. That's the first thing we have to know, and he wants us to know. Secondly, the second thing he wants us to know is he gives his word in verse 29b. It says, but those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever. Gives his word, 29b. First of all, preserve God's word. That's what we're to do. He says, I've given you my word, but he wants us to preserve it as well. Notice it says, these belong to our children forever. These things which are revealed belong to us and our children forever. Make sure you keep them. Not everything is a secret. God has given us his word regarding himself and how we are to live. And it is not always a secret. God reveals himself and how we ought to live. Look at 2 Timothy 3, verse 15 through 17 for a moment. Second Timothy 3, verse 15 through 17. 2 Timothy 3, verse 15 through 17. And that from childhood, he's talking to Timothy, Paul is, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Jesus Christ. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. To see what God's word can do. Now, if we don't read it, if we don't pray, if we don't think about the word, if we only do it on Sundays when we, that's not any good. You're not going to get the strength that you need. And you need to know God's word to be able to preserve God's word. How important it is. God's word over the last 15 years has been corrupted so much. The evil one is definitely at work. You know, we're fighting battle on two ends. Getting people to read and study God's word and preserving the accuracy of God's word. You know, today you can get a Bible that is gender neutral or changes all the pronouns or leaves out verses. Bible publishing company years ago used to be owned by private families that were Christians. And they held on to the truth of God's word. And they wouldn't let anyone publish anything, or they wouldn't publish anything but God's true word. Well, now today, if you have enough money, they'll publish anything you want. Anything. You can make it say whatever you want. That's where we are today. So we need to preserve God's word that it might not leave us. We need to know it and understand it. So preserve God's word. Then I'd like you to see that he also talks about the knowledge of God's word. Knowledge of God's word. It says forever. You see how long that's supposed to be? We have what God wants us to know. How important it is it for you? Would you be willing to die for this word of God like our mothers and fathers in the faith did? Do you think it's worth dying for? Do you know its content? Do you read the Bible? If not, it's like you don't have one. If you don't read it, you may have it, but it's just sitting there. You know, today, there are over, and this isn't published numbers, this is just a particular version or translation. There are over 1,970 versions of the Bible in 1,350 languages. That doesn't include the teacher's Bible and every other person's Bible and so on. Do you see that? That many languages. And most of them are corrupt. Many of them are. Because of what it teaches. It's your goal to be more holy and to turn away from anything that seems to entangle you from God's word. Look at Psalm 119, verse 11. Psalm 119, verse 11. Psalm 119, verse 11. Your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. See that? The psalmist is saying, your word, that helps me. That keeps me from sinning. I put your word in my heart and deal with that, because temptation comes. We all deal with temptation of the world. And the only way to resist it is to know truth, to know God's word and respond with God's word. So how important it is to know God's word. And then teach God's word. That's the third thing. Notice what it says. But those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever. You'll notice that it says not only to us, but to our children. And it doesn't say to our children that we may do all the words of this law. It says to our children forever, forever. Children and youth need to be teachable. They need to understand the importance of being taught the faith. Because it seems like every generation, the church has to reclaim its faith from being attacked by heresy. Take your faith and pass it down through generations. Children are to listen to their parents and listen to their teaching from God's word. Make sure truth is in what your Bible teaches, and make sure you teach them. I heard the testimony of a Muslim a while back who was out to destroy God's church and his people, going to burn down the church in a Muslim community. But something happened in his study and exposure to God's word. He was converted. He lost his family, his friends, people abandoned him. And I heard him praying, and his heart was heavy and broken. And he prayed for their salvation. He prayed that God would bring them like God brought him. There is power only in God's word, not in your ability, not in your wealth of knowledge, but it's the word of God that God uses. So he gives his word. Follow me, he says. Here's your direction that you need. Preserve his word, know his word, and teach his word. And then thirdly, he requires obedience, the third part of verse 29. Listen to what he says in the latter part. He says, that we may do all the words of this law. You see the emphasis on all, the words, and this law. It's God's word. Notice it says, as we think about he requires obedience, is to live a life of continuous obedience. Notice it goes on to say, to our children forever that we may do. I'm for knowledge. I love doctrine. I love teaching. But it's extremely important because it needs to affect our behavior and how we live. I've been around a lot of people that just want to win an argument. And when it comes to other things, they really have very little connection, but they just want to win an argument. That's terrible. But he wants us here, as he says, to have his word continuously, to continuously obey it, that we may do continually all the words of this law. Be faithful. Search the scriptures. You'll never attain to perfection in this life, but make it your goal to be holy and to follow the Lord. He requires obedience. Live a continual life, a continual obedience. Secondly, live a life of complete obedience. You see this here? He says that we may do all the words, all the words. It's everything in Scripture. Remember the seven churches in Revelation 2 and 3? All but one of them, the Lord said that I have this against you. Some of the churches were commended for things, but then the Lord would say, but I have this one thing against you. Except for the church in Philadelphia. You notice in these chapters in Revelation, the Lord is focusing on complete obedience. However, he was not focused on perfect obedience. No one can have perfect obedience in this life. You can't have that. But you can have complete obedience, where you are doing your very best, where you are living for the Lord, where you're confessing your sins and walking with Him. He requires obedience, a life of complete obedience. Look at Joshua chapter 1, verse 7 through 8 for a moment. Joshua chapter 1, verse 7 through 8. The beginning of verse 7 of Joshua 1. Listen to what he says to God's people. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Do you see that? Do not depart from it. Do not turn even a little to right. Make sure you're focused on the Word of God, the Bible, the Scriptures. Know it. Stay focused. It's so important. And thirdly, we are to live a life of careful obedience. Careful obedience. Notice he just doesn't say that you may do all my words. He says all the words of this law, all of God's commandments, his word, faithfulness to God's word only, not legalism for someone else's sin or interpretation or conviction. You know, if you carefully read the Bible, and when you need help in understanding, certain passages will come to mind. If not, ask a pastor or the elder and find out what they are and how that scripture can help. A life of careful obedience. And not be subjected to other people's interpretation or other people's legalism. Be convinced of what the scripture says. And someone may want to tell you how to live, and they're not living how they ought to as well. They're not living like they ought to. So follow God's word. Follow him. And remember that. Remember to be obedient to him, not to the world or someone else's ideas. There are secrets that only God has. And only he knows. We've seen that. And only he can understand. He knows you better than you know yourself. They belong only to him. He knows all things, and he calls you to follow him. He wants you to know that he has secrets. He wants you to know he gives his word to you, and he wants you to know that he requires obedience because he gave you his word on how to live. Truth is found in his word. We are supposed to tell others of the truth of his word. Then, friends, families, and pray for opportunities that God will open the doors for us. Have you come to the Lord Jesus? You must acknowledge that you're a sinner, that you've broken his laws, and you cannot earn eternal life or do enough good. You can't do that. You must believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins and took your place. As 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. He will return to this world in glory, honor, power, and majesty. It's coming. And he will come in judgment upon sinners, those who break his law, have no repentance and no faith in him. When that will happen is one of God's secrets that he doesn't tell anyone. No one knows. He knows all things and has decreed all things, even the deepest secrets of your life that you've told no one. He knows. There is no secret of men that God does not know. But he has that man, that man's will. He knows what he's going to do. And sometimes we think that God never sees what's going on in our mind and our heart. Don't focus on what you don't know as we read this. Don't focus on that. That's why we have this section. Because there's secrets, because his word will direct us. Remember the revelation of God. Remember his presence. Remember his word. And remember the secret things belong to Yahweh your God. But those things which are revealed belong to us, to you, to our children forever. That's what he wants us to remember. That's what it's all about. As he says, follow me in these verses. He wants you to know he has secrets. He's given you his word, and he requires obedience. Come, follow me, the Lord says. Come, follow me.